Good evening.
Testing, testing.
Thank you for coming for the 2019 City Council Candidate Forum. We are excited tonight to be collaborating with the Homer Chamber of Commerce. My name is Mercedes Harness. I am the coordinator for the Friends of the Homer Library, and with me is Amy Woodruff, who is the marketing director for the chamber. So tonight, we have combined resources and ideas to present this forum. Two members of each organization met to curate the questions, and those were very fun meetings. Additionally, community members had the opportunity to submit questions at Captain's Coffee, Cape Bay Cafe, the library, and the chamber. All of you should have a note card on your chair. If you have a question that you would like to ask during the forum, please write it down and raise your hand, and I will collect it. We will try to get to as many questions as we can. The questions that we do not have time to answer will be forwarded to the candidates, and it is up to their discretion how they choose to respond. Kelly Cooper is our moderator, for which we're very grateful. Van Saber, can you stand up? This is our FHL student representative and our timekeeper. I have a few thank yous, first for the candidates for taking the time to run and for being here tonight. Also to Nelton Palma, who arranged our sound this evening. To the volunteers who came and set up all the chairs, who came and helped prepare the questions. And for all of you for caring enough about our community to being here tonight and being committed to making informed decisions. Thank you to KPBI for recording this live tonight. And thank you again to the Homer Chamber of Commerce for co-hosting with us. With that, I'll hand it over to Amy to say a few more words.
Good evening. Just a couple notes. We always like to recognize when other representatives join us. So aside from the incumbents and Assemblymember Cooper, we also have with us tonight Representative Vance, Mayor Kastner, and Councilmembers Lord and Venuti. So thank you to all of you for joining us and for your service to the community. Okay, go ahead. And then we just would like to remind everyone a couple pointers. Please observe respectfully. If we overhear any comments or anything from the audience that is considered to be disruptive, we will invite you to leave. The restrooms are in the back, and emergency exits are around the corner and out the back. And is there a third? No. Yeah. We get an eh. But yeah, so it looks like we have a clear path for folks to leave should there be any disturbance. I don't want to leave this stage without recognizing my coworkers. We have our interim executive director, Jan Knutson, right here. And then Nyla Lightcap is doing the dirty work. She's behind the tree, making sure that so folks who can't join us tonight are able to watch the event live on Facebook. So thank you so much for that. And with that, I'll hand it over to Kelly Cooper for our first question.
Can I interject something? We have four lovely seats right here and a whole bunch of people standing out in the back. So I encourage you to be brave and take a front row. And there's also a chair here and there. And now here's Kelly.
Those definitely aren't the hot seats. Please come forward and make yourself at home.
Tell them it's not church, they can sit up.
And we won't give you a hard time for falling asleep in the front seats. All right, so V and I will be working together on the timing, and we will be going through the candidates. I spoke with the candidates beforehand and got permission to call them by their first name. Our goal is to make them comfortable and welcome to this forum, so they've agreed to allow me to do that. And we will start with Tom and work our way down with each of the questions. So our first question, or our first portion, is a 30-second introduction. And tell us why you're running.
Thank you. Well, I'm running for a second term on the Homer City Council to continue my role as a council member of reason and compromise. My past record of proven leadership will continue to promote fiscal responsibility to best carry out the mission of ensuring the health, safety, and welfare for all citizens of Homer. A healthy local economy with experienced, responsible, and common sense municipal leadership is essential. I want to ensure that Homer continues as a vibrant component of Alaska's growing visitor industry with the sustainability to maintain the necessary services for our community.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Stop saying camera.
Candidates, watch your timekeeper back there. We do have a lot to cover tonight, and you have your time frame on there, and I will try to be very kind, but we were going to move things along. Go ahead, Shelley.
Yes, I'm Shelley Erickson. It's nice to see so many friends and people that I've known for years. I am committed to seeing Homer succeed in the future. One of the lenses that I look through for everything that I'm doing on the City Council is the lens of for the good of all. And what that means is that as a City Council person, I have to make each decision and look at the multiple consequences of each one of those decisions. And that's a kind of a hard thing to do, but I think that I can do that. Thank you. Stop.
Nice job. Oh, just a minute. Here, let's go backwards.
Hello, I'm Storm Hansen Cavazos, and I am running for City Council because I am a longtime resident here. I'm a mom of six, and I'm really committed to working with hopefully my teammates and providing more youth opportunities. That's my main focus here. So thank you, and fresh voice is what I'm all about.
Thanks, I'm Joe Evenson. I'm here to help Homer transition to the next phase that sustains our ways of life. I believe it's closely tied to our natural resources and also promotes our quality of life. I'd like to see us develop in smart ways. I'm an experienced troubleshooter and PhD level problem solver. I'm a product of this community, and I'm running because I'd simply like to give something back. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, our next question is, what is your favorite book and why?
Is that for me? Well, my favorite book is the Holy Bible because it's the rule and guide of my faith. Thank you.
You're welcome. Shelley?
Well, I'm going to say our packets of 300 to 600 pages every couple weeks. That was a joke, really. But actually, the book of Philippians, there's it says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life and let joy overflow. And that is the way I try to live my life, and so that's what I have to say.
So, on a different note, my favorite book is The Shark Dialogues by Kiana Davenport, and for me, that is important because I have a strong Hawaiian heritage, and in my family, our heritage is very important, and the characters in that story just really speak to me, so thank you.
I like a book entitled The Logic of Failure. It's by a Dietrich Dorner, sorry, a good German name. I picked it up on the order 20 years ago. It talks about the decisions that we make and whether or not that enterprise will ultimately fail. And that the successful enterprises are ones that continue to remake decisions, to continue to evaluate how well that decision was working and iterate to get it right again and again. And those that didn't work were ones where somebody was entrenched in their position and basically had the same recipe they started with. Thanks.
Okay, back to you, Tom. What are three things that are working in our community?
Thank you. Well, our local government is one, and that's been evidenced by all of the good things that this council has accomplished over the past couple of years. Volunteerism is excellent in this community because with all our nonprofits, the volunteers that are needed to operate them, it wouldn't happen if we didn't have a good volunteer base. And then last is our robust tourism market. You know, the Homer Chamber reported that even though we had the fires this summer, our overall numbers at our visitor center were up about 3%. So those are three good working things in our community. Thank you.
Shelley?
Sorry.
I think the small business entrepreneurs that are finding the niches and creating jobs in our town is a real positive, and I'm excited to see how that whole segment of industry is moving forward. I really appreciate that we have a community that is engaging, talking about issues and being involved. And thirdly, I think, again, along with Tom, it's the volunteers and it's the people that are making things happen that are caring for the community and each other.
Storm?
Well, the three things I think that work in our community, well, first off is to be repetitive, is our volunteerism, working at the Homer Medical all those years, and being a mom of youthful kids with our strike that just, potential strike that just came out. I saw that we really worked together to provide options for working families that were going to be in a bind with daycare, and what are they going to do with their kids? That's really huge for me. Fishing industry, transportation with the marine life. We have some great Southwest Pilots Association. I think that we have some incredible resources there for our community. It's an asset. And our arts. I mean, we just had the Homer World's Arts Festival. That was pretty spectacular. It was also for us. And then it brought in people from out of town. So those are some good things that work for us.
Thanks. I think our Port and Harbor is working really well. Not only do we have a talented harbor master, but all of the staff out there, I think, are talented in many ways, and they do a lot of great things for our community. They also have a forward-looking vision, and I think if we can help the port reach its forward-looking vision, it'll make Homer all that much better. On the education side, we've been through a difficult year, but I will parrot some of the comments. I think our schools are, and our education system is strong. We have award-winning schools here, and I think it's imperative that we continue our support of those. And last, the library is working well. And I'll add to that our public works. I think they're some of the unsung heroes of our community. They get a lot of things done on a daily basis in a difficult Alaskan climate and geologic landscape. I'd like to see the water and sewer extended to the annex portions of the city that hasn't yet reached.
And just real quickly, I'd like to echo the volunteer portion of that. This room is full of volunteers, and I'm grateful to every one of you in the community for what you do. This time we're going to start with Shelley. What are your top three priorities, and what initiative will you take to see those priorities addressed?
Right now, I think the initial one that I was looking at is the two-year budget. I think that it's going to bring us into a lot more transparency, putting some policies in place to make sure that we are managing our money well in a very stressful time at the state and borough level. So I'm really proud of the work that we're doing and where we're going, and I see that as a very important place to be playing a part in that. I will continue to work with land issues that need to be resolved, and there's some places around town that need some extra care, and working through those issues and trying to help people that are in need. And there's also, I think, some areas, okay, I'm still okay, on time that we in the last year, the last 3 years, have been working to fix some of those outdated manuals, those outdated policies, and looking through them with a critical eye to say, is that really something that is where we need to keep that line, or is it maybe do we need to change because life has changed around here? And so that's my third thing, is to continue making sure that we fix those places that need to be fixed in our laws and policies.
Storm?
Top three priorities for me, well, being the age that I am, a 45, single mom of six, five at home, youth and recreation is huge for me. When my oldest was, say, middle school, we had Boys and Girls Club. I think that's vital to our community. I would really like to find a task force that can tackle that and find ways to bring it back, because if I didn't have the family resources that I have, like my mom and my mother-in-law, to watch my kids after school, I would be in a pretty big bind. I'm not so sure I could work and afford daycare for after-school activities, and I think it nurtures our culture. Education, I think education is huge. We need to support. We have some amazing public schools. I am a product of the public schools here. Homer East End School used to be East End, Paul Banks. I would like to encourage, we have the programs where our high schoolers can take college classes and be in advance. I'd like to see maybe trades included in that. So when my children graduate from high school, they have a trade that they can immediately go into. And lastly, the utilities. I'm new to this, but I know that I grew up on Mission Road, and that has been annexed into the city of Homer, and we still do not have city and water. And that would be really nice to see. So those are my top three priorities.
Thanks. Top three for me, first as a newcomer, is to listen and learn. I'd like to help as much as I can and enter new organizations seamlessly, and I know that requires a lot of learning up front and listening just to make sure I can do the best I can and understand everything before fully jumping in. To work well with the Chamber and the Economic Development Commission toward long-term strategy, I think there are a lot of great concepts that have come from the Chamber, some of the folks that are here tonight, and I think there's some long-term strategy that can come out of that would be great. My second topic is to keep things thematic regarding Homer. We have a theme here, I believe, that I've called it the Aspen of Alaska. We're the place where even Alaskans recreate, and so much of our economy is derived from and surrounds itself in our natural resources, and I think oftentimes we should use it as sort of a litmus test, an independent measure, when we're talking about a new policy or program to make sure it fits into the theme that Homer has been and can continue to be, and I think that can help drive our economy in stronger ways than it has in the past. I have some ideas about beautification and possibly architectural improvements via some incentives and also a shoulder season festival and possibly a wintertime festival for our Northern Marine Expo type of thing for a marine trades group. My last point is to help set and stay focused on objectives and goals. Many municipalities around the country have set objectives, and I'd like to see some here. Thanks.
Thanks, Joey. And for you, Tom.
Thank you. Well, first off, finishing the HERC project, either through the demo process that the council has come to consensus on or a recently uncovered innovation plaza potential that we heard about at the council meeting on Monday evening. Secondarily is the community recreation center. We need something of that sort, and moving forward with phase one of the initial planning is very critical and very important, and I'd like to be a part of that. And then continuing our energy efficiency initiatives. The 2019 efforts in that area resulted in reducing our lighting costs in all municipal buildings. And of course, the library was one of them where we reduced the operating costs here by almost $8,000 a year. Next steps are reducing the costs associated with our ice plant manufacturing process, where a current study is being conducted to determine the feasibility of cost savings there and maximizing our energy improvements, our low-hanging fruit items that will help us reduce further city operating costs without reducing services. This is one of the components of our climate action plan that was developed in 2007. So we're taking that to task. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Storm, you'll start with this one. As a member of the City Council, where will you get your information about local and state news?
Newspapers, and in the morning when I get ready, I listen to KBBI, and I try to watch the evening news when I can if I get home in time, and then I listen to my coworkers, and we talk about the things that are going on locally, which happens to be, in my opinion, informative people, Dr. Bell, and all kinds of lovely community members, and so, yes, TV, media, friends, and networking.
And you, Joey.
Thanks. I think the Tribune is a great source of news for accurate reporting, and I would compliment the Homer News for being a great source of news for breadth of reporting. I think each newspaper has their own unique qualities, and I think they're both great sources. Anchorage Daily News does a great job of covering all things Alaska, I think, at a state level, and I think it's a good source to go to. And locally, from individuals, I think one of the big responsibilities you have as a city council member is to listen and take in information about events that are happening from our community.
Thank you. Well, I rely on various sources that include radio, television, and print media. And I'm not going to name any specifics, but those are my sources. Thank you.
I try to make sure that I have a variety, that I'm not just listening to one side or reading one side, making sure that doing everything from reading on the internet, the Anchorage Daily News, watching the television, talking to people, seeing what's going on just at council. There's a lot of different places where we find out the news, and so I'm always listening and paying attention.
Thank you. Joey, what does the slogan "Homer is open for business" mean to you?
Actually, I think it's an antiquated slogan is would be my response. When I was away from Homer living outside, there's a handful of communities in states in lower 48 that utilized that slogan some 15 years ago. And my concern for that slogan, for a newcomer or visitor to Homer would be that they might, it might misrepresent us, and they might misunderstand and think that we are stuck in time or, I don't know, some negative or derelict word like provincial, which I would never want to see us come across as because it could hurt us. So I'd like to see that slogan revamped, maybe something like the Center of Inspiration and Innovation for Alaska or something like that, the community for that. But I'd like to take another kick at the can for that one because I think it's been overused. Thanks.
Well, as corny as Homer is open for business may sound, it really is kind of catchy. And Homer is an openly friendly community where local government and the business community can work together to create a more vibrant economy. There are ways in which this philosophy can be improved, from revisions to our local sign ordinance to better bring signage and whatnot and sign technology into the 21st century. That is a great place to start.
When I look at Homer's Open for Business, I'm thinking about what businesses are sustainable year-round. Because a lot of times we have businesses that can only really function for the summer season. And I think it's really imperative that we once again get businesses that are thriving for 12 months out of the year, just not the 4 to maybe 5 months.
I would have to agree with Shelley on that. I feel like open for business should really mean for our locals, for year-round people, bring money in from visitors and keep the money here, not just the 4 months out of the year, and then we go and snowbird and take our money elsewhere. So I would like the open for business to mean year-round sustainable action.
Okay, we'll start with you, Tom. While promoting economic growth, how do you preserve and support existing businesses?
By bringing in new businesses that will complement the ones that we currently have. And that will cause all of them to grow and thrive accordingly.
Since it took such short time, can I ask a follow-up question? Okay, so this is the way I like to do it. Okay. So when you talk about inviting new businesses to complement the existing businesses, do you believe that the new business should get tax breaks? And how does that affect our existing businesses?
Well, as far as tax breaks are concerned, it depends on the magnitude of the business, how many jobs they're bringing into the community, and what their projected sales would be, because the sales taxes that are collected are very important if we're going to be able to offer any types of sales tax incentives, business tax incentives, how many people they're going to employ, et cetera, et cetera.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for being flexible on that. Shelley?
I think our elephant in the room is Amazon. Amazon has, and the internet, shopping on the internet. It has caused small businesses to have to close their doors. They can't afford to keep the inventory or carry the kind of inventory and make the profit that they need to keep their doors open. And so I think that to promote that, we maybe need to quit using the Amazon as much, and I don't shop on Amazon, but my husband does, so anyway, we have a family issue on this one, but I think it's important that we're shopping local. And the other part that I see and I've watched is that people are talking down local businesses with people who are really trying to make sure that we have goods and services available within our town. And so I think that we need to look at both of those personally on how we are responding in the way that we buy.
Well, I try to shop as locally as possible. I don't shop online too terribly much, and so I think it would be supporting our local businesses. I do agree that we might need a few more resources. I have 5 kids at home. It'd be nice to have a little more variety that's a little bit more affordable, but I will go to Ulmer's and buy a pair of shoes before I go out of town. I just think that we need to keep our money here and support small businesses coming up, and maybe a tax break might be that.
When you talk about a tax break, you're talking about for?
For new businesses. Like, I think depending, like Tom said, depending on how many employees they provide and services they provide, maybe they start off with a slower or lower tax rate, and then as they are established, their taxes increase.
Joy?
Thanks. I'd like to see Homer, I think, investigate some potential breakthrough ideas on this topic. And one is, it has to do with shipping. We mentioned Amazon. Amazon was mentioned about The cost of getting goods shipped to the Lower Peninsula, and the other one's about just commuting to and from Anchorage for commuters. The basic infrastructure for how you access Homer is a pipeline for our economy and for our economics. And if you can you speak and facilitate those two topics, then I think we could really go somewhere. We could potentially, for example, use city land and some tax incentives to try to get a ground transportation shipping company to base themselves out of Homer. We could also look at trying to invite a low-cost airline carrier with our incentives, as we own the airport, into providing lower-cost service to and from Anchorage so that folks could actually commute on it and it wouldn't be a stifling economic proposition to start with. Thanks.
So we're just going to do a real quick 30-second down the row with each of these, because as we talk about economic development, we do have that code in place on the footprint of the building. So when we talk about all of those things, they seem to be larger than our footprint. What do you say to that, Tom?
Well, perhaps we need to change the size of our footprint. We must be flexible. Let's take a look at what these other businesses will bring in, depending on the size of their footprint, and make a judgment call accordingly.
I think that we need to look at all of our laws, and maybe that is one we need to be looking at, too, just because the world has changed in the last 10 years. It is not the same world that it was when a lot of our laws were made, and we need to make sure that we are keeping up with the times, so to speak, for a cliche there. Sorry. No.
Go ahead, Sean.
Footprint. Well, I don't necessarily think we need big box stores here, but I think we need more variety and more options. Like maybe our existing businesses can extend a little bit more and offer more products at a reasonable price. Competition locally within each other.
Joey?
Thanks. I like some of Storm's words there. I think the footprint stuff is an issue because it could directly threaten our existing and thriving businesses that have made it for so many years and even generations here in Homer. So I think that's a very important factor to keep in mind. I also think if we investigated something like a ground transportation breakthrough, then we could change the cross structure of some of these goods coming here, and that could naturally get, I think, at what you're asking.
Great. They may never invite me back to do this since I'm going off the script here, but okay. Okay.
Thanks.
You would say that. Okay. Is it your turn to start?
I guess.
Okay. So, Tom, we'll start with you, and now pay attention better. There's a documented need for affordable housing. How do you envision creating a climate where developers would invest in affordable housing?
Well, that is a big question. I think we could work closer with the federal government on that issue. That would be a viable option. The Affordable Housing Credit Improvement Act of 2019 seeks to close the gap in affordable rental units across the country. It would do so by expanding and strengthening the Affordable Housing Tax Credit, also known as Low Income Housing Tax Credit, which is a pillar, of course, of our federal housing policy. If passed, the bill expects to create $1.9 million in additional affordable units over the next decade. If enacted, the bill would take important steps toward alleviating the growing housing affordability crisis by incentivizing developers to better serve the lowest income families and those with the greatest and clearest needs. This bill would help the housing credit better reach extremely low-income people, as well as underserved rural and Native American communities. Homer could actually benefit from this.
Thank you. Shelley.
Looking at the comp plan a number of years ago, it was that we were going to have a retirement community, and we got a nice retirement community. But coming along with the retirement community, you also needed to have the people who were actually able to service that community. And that's, we succeeded in the comp plan in there. Now it's time where we actually need to maybe critically look at where we really, what we want our town to be. Do we want it to be medical? Do we want it to be for people with special needs, or do we want to change it and maybe make it more along the line of a business type community? So I think that we have some hard issues that we actually need to talk through before we can actually give incentive for somebody to come and put a lot of extra housing in.
Storm?
Well, I think along with what Shelley said, regardless of which way we go on that, that brings families, younger families, with our medical, seniors, our retirement, industrial, comes people like me who are young to middle age, who are raising families who don't own properties, who need to rent and rent year round, and it's not easy. I think we need more affordable housing. I know several business owners that were not able to keep open because they couldn't get summer help that could afford summertime housing, because most people rent out their winter homes for Airbnb. So regardless of the avenue that the city chooses to go, I think we need affordable housing for the regular middle to lower income folks like myself.
Joey?
Thanks. I'd pair that. I think the issue is also a state sort of top-down issue. The way economics works, it's a pseudoscience and works on cause and effect the same way science works. And as a scientist, I always have interest in the inner workings of economics. And I think one thing that may be holding us up here is what I understand to be an issue in our state constitution, which is unique, about our ability to tax non-resident properties, the vacation homes, in a different bracket. Most counties across the United States do this. It happened to me when I was lucky enough to have a vacation property before outside. I'm not in that situation anymore. But when I was in that situation, I had to pay a higher tax bracket because I wasn't part of that community year round, but the higher tax kind of helped compensate for the amount of money that you spend there, because by buying that vacation home, you help lift up the property values, which is a trend that's been going on in Homer for a long time. So I think we're fighting a tide here, and I think the way to stop it is actually all the way at the state level. I know that sounds ambitious, but I think that's what would truly affect our economy in a positive way.
Full disclosure, I worked with our borough attorney on seeing if we could adjust our mill rate based on whether they were vacation homes or residents of Alaska, and that was the frustrating news that I received. It's not a statutory change. It's actually in our constitution, which makes us very unique, as we all know with our Alaska constitution. On things that work in other states, we're not able to do that here, so that's something we should be looking at doing. So part two of that question, we'll start with you, Shelley, is do you envision other ways the city could encourage affordable housing?
I think it's opening up land. We've got some pretty stringent laws on the books when you do a subdivision, things that you need to have in place, paved roads, different things like that. And that, right off the get-go, adds a lot of extra cost. And so I think that we need to look at what we're requiring for new subdivisions coming in to drop the cost of the land down so people are able to afford that initial part with water and sewer.
And you, Storm?
Well, from what I understand, the city has some lots that could be opened up and put up for bid, and maybe there can be an incentive for builders to build little, small, affordable housing that is appeasing to the eye within city limits, that are accessible for people who are single-family homes with one vehicle or no vehicle, that can walk to all their resources, school, work, grocery store, medical.
Joey?
Thanks. Again, I'll parrot some of Storm's, I think, thoughtful words there. I think even a round robin with some of our talented home builders in our community about building smaller, more affordable structures with the privacy that a lot of Alaskans want for living here could go a long way. There's clearly a need. I know there's a lot of young professionals in Homer today who are living in dry cabins because that's all they can afford, and they're young folks working in our community, contributing to our community, so this is a big issue, and I think it's something we could address at least by talking to as a starting point.
And you, Tom.
Thanks. Well, short answer, property tax incentives may ultimately be the option to encourage more affordable housing. Thank you.
I'm a big fan of the smaller footprint as well. As we run out of building spaces, those smaller footprints kind of accomplish more than one item. Okay, next item, we will start with Storm. Where do you stand on the proposed plastic bag ban?
I am for the ban, because from what I understand, it's not all plastics. It's the single-use plastic bags. And as I know from carrying many groceries home every single day when I go to Safeway, they break before I get them in, and then they fly out of my car. And I think that it's really important that we get, it's a habit. I forget my bags every other day when I go to Safeway, and half the time I'm buying a new bag. So it was not only would it eliminate our trash and disposable plastics, it goes into our water, it affects our marine life, it washes up on our beaches. So I think the discomfort that banning the single-use plastic bags is worth the toll that it'll take on the average human shopping locally.
Joey?
Thanks. I'm wearing a sticker that hopefully illustrates how I feel about this issue. A lot of folks come down and enjoy our natural resources and enjoy our bay. They may tow a boat from Wasilla or someplace like that. And I've noticed that they tend to stop at Safeway, load up with groceries, get out on the boat, and go straight to the bay, which sadly means oftentimes those bags go straight into our bay. And these are the, once you get below a certain mil thickness for plastics, these are the ones that we've identified globally as those that disintegrate into a whole bunch of different pieces and end up in the basically Great Pacific Plastic Patch in our lovely Pacific Ocean. So it's an environmental concern because it directly impacts us. It's this isn't something that indirectly somewhere down the road has an effect, but it directly impacts our bay, and therefore it is worth the effort that it'll take to I think change the habit. It's also a business opportunity for bag makers in town, and we could start experimenting with things like put it in your car to make sure you keep it. Thanks.
Great. Tom.
Thanks, Kelly. Well, when this came before the city council last year, I was an advocate of putting the idea on the ballot versus having the council impose the bag ban, like which happened before. Several years ago, you'll remember that the people rejected a city council mandate, and they will be afforded the opportunity to weigh in next week on our October 1 election day. And I think that's the best way to decide how this is going to go.
Shelley.
I was on the, felt the same way that it was important that because the community had said no before, that you were given the chance to change your mind on that. I appreciate the fact that that Caroline had brought it to the table, that it is a heavier bag versus no bags at all. I know that there's a lot of people that use both. A lot of people, because of this, have become more aware of how they are going shopping and what they're doing. Funny, I was talking to my daughter who's in Anchorage today, and she got to the checkout counter and said, Mom, there's no bags. So anyway, we're not the only ones that are looking at this option, and so I think everybody needs to vote their conscience on it.
Great, we'll go to you, Joey. What is a high quality of life look like in Homer?
Thanks. Three things. Healthy. High quality of life looks healthy here. Healthy water and healthy air. And sadly, I think a lot of folks come here and see the beautiful scenery and assume everything's healthy, and it's really not that way. As a geochemist, I can speak to the arsenic in our well waters that we're learning more and more about on the Kenai all the time, but some really scary realities for some of those wells. And on the air side, we have a lot of mold. The Lower Peninsula is virtually a northern rainforest, and the mold counts, if you talk to folks, oftentimes are off the charts. The other thing is about making ends meet. I think a high quality of life means that you can make ends meet. One of the quotes I'd like to borrow from Jim Hornaday is, I don't know how anybody in Homer makes a living. And that quote is very telltale about the reality of life here. And the last is so that we can enjoy our Alaskan lifestyles as well as our American freedoms, like freedom of religion. So I think that's what high quality looks like.
Is Jim here? Mayor Hornaday? I miss that because he's usually here. Okay, you, Tom.
All right, thank you. Well, Homer provides for the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens. And we're blessed to accommodate those attributes as we exhibit many features that add to the quality of life. We have good roads, pretty decent most of the time, schools, high-quality health care here, we have scheduled air transportation, and we have retail and service establishments
that help meet the needs of a sustainable community.
I think a person's quality of life is kind of driven by the choices that they make, and choosing to live in Homer, there's choices here of why they're here. Some of us are here because we have deep, deep family roots. Some of us are here because of the view. Some of us are here because of fishing, sport fishing. Some of us are here to play. And I think that part of the question, it was what drives that government or the economics. And I think
who's the moderator here? I'm the moderator.
She hasn't got there yet.
We're not to that part.
I'm on my answer.
Okay. Go ahead. Just be prepared.
Oh, great. It says stop. Okay. So anyway, I think that economics is a driving force in a high quality of life. And when you see people that have a reason to get up and something to do, versus not having a reason to get up every morning, and you're getting up every morning to either go to work or to play or to do both, I think is really critical in our life. Is we work hard, we play hard, and we enjoy our family hard too. Stop.
Okay, Storm, we're going to just do the first part of that question, and then we'll go back.
So high quality life for me personally means raising my family in a community that I was raised in and my parents before me, and I've seen a lot of changes over the years. And for me, high quality life starts with our youth. And if our youth are not supported and given opportunities to learn and have good education by the amazing schools that we have and stay off the streets and drug free, then we have nowhere to go. So for me, youth is the future of our high quality of life in Homer. There's lots of other things, but that's what I'm going to stick with right now.
Great. And so now we'll go with you, Tom, on the second part of that question. Is creating that high quality of life driven by economics or government? Did I skip you, Joey? Mm-hmm.
You did? Yeah. It's okay if you want to change the order.
Okay, you get to do
You know what? You get to do both.
You get to do both.
and give him that extra 1 minute.
I actually think I already mentioned part of the high quality of life. But I would say it also involves safety and security, and I think we have a wonderful police force here in Homer that does a great job to help with that. The second part of the question is the high quality of life driven by economics or government, and I think it's driven by both. Cordova is a great example right now. Government is about infrastructure oftentimes, and you know, if they don't have ferry service coming to and from all winter long, life gets pretty bleak. We were panicked here in Homer when the fires cut off our highway. And I'm ashamed to realize it's a reality that a lot of Alaskan communities are going to face from a policy decision this winter in other areas. So you need the infrastructure for the economy. This is just for a little bit of history for what it's worth. It's why the English won Canada away from the French. The French moved in and they were great at negotiations and other things, but they didn't build infrastructure. The English got in and built schools and roads and hospitals and ultimately won Canada for that reason. So we need the infrastructure in order to see our economy prosper, and I think that helps directly toward our high-quality life. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, I have to echo what Joey said there, because it is a combination of both. Government provides services such as infrastructure, water and sewer, public safety, fire protection, and schools. Businesses and industry provide the rest, the economics.
Would you like to add something, Shelley, since I was...
No, I'm fine. I think I answered my question.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'd like to add is I have a couple of friends in the room that every time I see them, they remind me, as a small business owner, that quality of life is a living wage. And that is really at the forefront of my thoughts when I hire people and when I do my budgets on what I can afford to pay, a living wage, because it matters to our youth as we talk about it.